Good morning, everyone. Some are seeking for a treasure that they cannot find. Some are seeking for a treasure that they cannot afford. What is seen to the eye as a precious attraction is only wood and stubble, and it will not survive. Where does your treasure lie? Where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too, asking God for wisdom. Lift your voice for understanding. Hidden treasures in the riches of God's word. Are you seeking the one who bought your freedom? Freedom from the slave market of sin. The cost was everything to him, but he did not count it. He gladly gave it all. From his cost we benefit. Where does your treasure lie? Moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too, asking God for wisdom. Lift your voice for understanding. Hidden treasures in the riches of God's word. Some search for treasures in money, others in what this life it holds. What I search for can't be bought, the eye cannot see. It was purchased at the cross, grace is it free. Where does your treasure lie? Where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. If your treasure is in heaven, your heart will be there too, asking God for wisdom. Lift your voice for understanding. Hidden treasures in the riches of God's
word. True riches indeed, Rick. Thank you. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to keep going on this Romans road, as our beloved J. Vernon McGee would say. So we'll start in 7. It's a portion that's been misunderstood, mistaught. False doctrines have arisen from it, and I'm not that I have a great grasp on it myself, but I trust that the Lord will teach me, will show me how to teach it. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. We expect to see and hear wonderful things out of your doctrine today, Lord. And we thank you so much for it. We pray for Scott, Lord, a couple days before his surgery, and Lord, that you would Keep strengthening him with might and inward man, and that you would completely heal him, and that the doctors would be amazed at your wonderful power and awesome watch over us, Lord. And We thank you for that, and we know that you will never leave us or forsake us. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we always have that confidence, Lord. And just to show that it's so important to get that word after our salvation, Lord. That's the only thing I want to really prove here today, Lord. So give me the wisdom, the insight to do this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Romans 7:1. Or do you not know, brethren and sister, and I hope we all know here that we're all one in Christ and there's no male or female, slave or Scythian or Jew or Greek, but all are one new man in Christ. So if they don't mention brethren, don't take it wrong. For I am speaking to those who know the law. In 6:19, he was speaking in human terms. Now he's speaking to those who know the law. I'm sure there was plenty, thousands probably, of saved Jews, just freshly saved, living in Rome. And he's addressing this portion mostly to them, I believe. Even though us as Gentiles, we're not under that law specifically, we are law unto ourselves. Because the law is in our conscience. When Christ breathed life into us, he breathed the conscience wherewith we can discern good and evil. That's not the spiritual life, but at least it gives us help in our early years. Like when you're young and you do something wrong and you get this little prick in your soul, and that's your conscience bothering you because it has a norms and standards. You ignore that and then you keep doing that same thing, and then that impulse doesn't come anymore. That you don't get that prick in your soul anymore. So that's why the conscience should be your guide if you're unsaved. But if you're saved, don't let that, because it'll accuse you sometimes when you don't need to be accused, and excuse you sometimes when you don't need to be excused. So do you not know? That's another one of our negative A words, A plus gnosis, and that's don't be ignorant. It's where we get our word gnosis from. That's where we get our word agnostic, and that's somebody who might not care about the word of God or any truth, or somebody like these people here, I believe, are just ignorant. Yet they haven't soaked up enough of the word of God to really have it benefit them greatly. And it takes a long time, takes a while. But he's speaking to those under the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. When you're dead, you're not under the law anymore. For the married woman, the hupoandros, under the man, the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she's released from that law. Don't you know is, like I said before, agneite, neg plus gnosis, knowledge, where we get our word agnostic, not really a hater or unbeliever. Atheist, but like I said, they might be ignorant or just haven't grasped what Paul's saying here yet. That agnostic word is also used in Romans 11:25, 1 Corinthians 10:1 and 12, 2 Corinthians 1:8 and 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I know some of you like to write the verses down, so I try to help out there. Speaking in human terms, but these times to those who know the law. Does mean it's not for us? No, we figured that out a long time ago. Every word of God is for us and about us. Even the ones that doesn't talk directly to us can always learn something from the word of God. It always applies somewhere in your thinking or in your life somewhere. Romans 2:12-16, for all who have sinned without the law will perish without the law. All who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just be, before God, but the doers of the law would be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law unto themselves. And that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. On the day when according to my gospel, I guess that's a good name for Romans, Paul's gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Like I said, the married woman is hupoandres, and she's chained, she's bound. The word is dio. Paul was a diosmos, a prisoner of Christ. It's a word being bound and imprisoned. But the law does not apply when her husband dies. The death of her husband releases. There's our word katergeo again. Makes that bond null and void now. She's no longer under that contract. Romans 7:3. So then if while her husband is living she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Adulteress is the word more callous, and if her husband dies, she no longer called that anymore. But she's free to join another man, and the other man here is Christ. Now, in a grander sense, I was thinking about all some of the years of Israel's idolatry. It started in Ephraim and then finally spread to everybody, even Judah. And Judah in the royal city, they were committing adultery, which is, and their idolatry was adultery to the Lord. And Jeremiah 9:2 says, "Oh, that I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them. For all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." Jeremiah 23:10. "For the land is full of adulteresses, for the land mourns because of the curse. The pastures of the wilderness have dried up. Their course also is evil, and their might is not right." It zaps you of any energy. I don't know how I know that, but adultery zaps you of all your energy till you get sick, till you come down with a chronic disease or something. Ezekiel 16:32, "You adulterous wife who takes strangers instead of her husband." And then the infamous Hosea, that whole book's about adultery and idolatry. 3:1, "Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress. Even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes." I got a kick out of that. They love raisin cakes. Raisin cakes are terrible, probably. "If her husband dies, she's married again. She is not an adulteress." So don't have to worry about being an adulteress if your husband dies and you remarry. 7:4, "Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die through the law, through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God." Romans 10:4, good buddy, Christ is the end of the law. His sacrifice put an end to the law for righteousness to everyone who merely believes. 8:2 of Romans, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Galatians 2:19, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." 5:18 of Galatians, "But if you were led by the Spirit, you were not under the law. Therefore, brethren, you were made to ethanatō through the husband." You died. And your husband is, the husband is dead now, and now we are joined to another. Joined to Christ in Romans 6:4-5 and Colossians 2:12. For the express purpose of carpo phoreo. That's a word. Carpo is fruit and phoreo is to bear. Purpose of our existence on earth after we're salvation is fruit bearing. "My Father is glorified by this," Jesus said, "that you bear much fruit, so prove to me my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide. There's one key. And if you keep my commandments, there's another key, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abide in him, abide in his love, abide in his word, and you'll have a great chance to have a wonderful, awesome spiritual life. 8:6-10 of Romans, for the mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, not even able to. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, you're not of his. You don't belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive because of his righteousness that he gives us as a gift upon believing. 6:13, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments, and that word is hoplos, we said, and as weapons, but present yourselves to God, those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. While being in the flesh, there is the imperfect tense. It's continuous action in the past, so it was a way of life. It was a way of life at one time. And he's referring, I believe, to the unsaved Anthropolis days. But we already proved that we can't have the spirit and be in the flesh. It was only the life we knew, though, at the time. Though the untaught, not being filled with the Spirit, can still think and act fleshly. And that's sarkikos. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 3:3, fleshly wisdom. 2 Corinthians 1:12, fleshly walking is mere men. And Colossians 2:18, the fleshly mind. It's just to drive home the importance here of getting every word of God into your soul and having the Spirit perform it, Christ will and do it in you. And be here Tuesdays, Sundays, sometime during the day, preferably the morning. Get in that Word, study it, meditate on it, and you'll be set for the day. That's the breakfast of champions. In that condition, our normal passions and desires ran amok, being controlled mostly through our emotions instead of our head. On top of that, the law or our conscience, either one, it was energized by the commandment, by the prohibition. 7:6. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. That's the only time he mentions the Spirit in chapter 7. Because these people were not ready to hear spiritual things. So he's trying to prove through the marriage, and here in a minute he's going to pretend like he's one of the ones who were under the law trying to live the Christian life. I don't believe he was. He's just using the eyes so he can relate to everybody. He don't want to sound like he, you know, like he's the only one who's ever overcome or anything. So he's using the eye so he can sound like one of the boys. There's katargeo again. Put down, shut off. We died from the law. Unplugged from a set of standards and rules and commandments. Remember, don't ever forget, 10-4, good buddy. Released from the law. Echo that time. Kata, down, and echo, to have. This time the law is no longer holding us down. The law held us down to do spiritual things. It kept us in that carnal mode. We are kainos, katesis, new creations now, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Romans 8:2 again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Can't remember that verse too many times. I think I used it 2 or 3, 4 times maybe in this message. So important. It's a new law. It's not the beautiful, godly, righteous law of Moses was called the law of sin and death compared to what we have now in Christ. The law of the Spirit of life. We worship in the Spirit. Glory in Christ Jesus. Put no confidence in the flesh. We are the real, true circumcision. We serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in polias grammatas, the oldness of the letter. 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also made us adequate, servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 7:7, we're just zooming right along here. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Meganoita. On the contrary, but Allah, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Excuse me. The law came in, Romans 5:20, so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The law expresses the holiness, righteousness of God, and His perfection. And of course, it's a beautiful thing. But unlike grace, the law carries with it a curse. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Thanks be to God. 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's from Deuteronomy 21:23. The law defines sin, but doesn't provide any power to do it. But another song the gospel sings, bids me fly and gives me even the wings. 7:8, but sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Before the law came in, there was nothing to define sin, so that's where they get the sin is dead. There was always some laws in place so people wouldn't be out murdering everybody. And I remember the Hammurabi Code from school, and that was even a few years before Moses' law. And I don't know what was in it. I didn't bother going that far. I just wanted to see how old it was. And then there was another one, a Sumerian. It was thousands of years, probably right after the fall, pretty much. And but cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things in the law. For sin taking opportunity through the commandment deceived me, and through it killed me. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will ever be justified in the sight of God. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is in the law. Sin is connected usually to what we see or hear, or worst of all, what we feel. But through the commandment taking opportunity, aphormain is the word there. From apo away and hormao to rush. I don't see how they get that out of there, but that's hormao is a word used in all four gospel accounts when Jesus kicks the demons out of the possessed man in the Gadarenes and forces them to go into the herd of swine that's nearby, and they rush into the water, and that's the word hormao. But 2 Corinthians 11:12, but what am I doing? I will continue to do so that I might cut off opportunity aforeme from those who desire and aforeme to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. That's when Paul said, I've really got something to boast about, if anybody does. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into a forme, an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another in love. The law enters in, katergastata, and our not our word katergeo, which means put down, but this one means to energize. It's kata and ergo, which means to work or a deed. So that's kata ergo, and it energizes sin, is energized in us. Through the law, for apart from the law, sin is dead. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, death through sin, and death spread to all men, because all sin. Death spread to man, not sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam till Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam. That's where we get our childhood salvation, who is a type of him who has to come. Best example of this, remember when we were young, you bunch of kids walk home from school every day, and we'd see this yard freshly planted grass with these little posts and a string around it with a sign that says, do not walk on the grass. That was it. We didn't only walk on the grass, we danced on it, kicked up big chunks of it, played a game of tag on it, and then laughed all the way home because we had so much fun. But that's somewhat of an example of how the commandment springs that old man, the man that's crucified. We have to bring him to life for him to do it because he's crucified. Exodus 19, example from Israel. Moses was speaking to the Lord, and then he come down from, he was up there two or three times. I didn't count them exactly. I didn't read the whole portion, but this was the first time he come down, and he read all the things that the Lord had given him to the congregation. And people, right away, oh yeah, Moses, we hear you, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So he went back up. When he went back up to get the tablets the next time, by the time he came back, they had already been eating and drinking and rose up to play, and they were having fun worshiping this gold calf that the future high priest of Israel made for him because of peer pressure. The people made him. So that's just how fast after the law comes in that we are sinning. Romans 7:9. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And that's also an imperfect tense. It was a way of life. Anazao, it came alive again. Romans 7:10. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death. Galatians 3:12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. And then Moses said, for Moses writes that the man who practices righteousness, which is based on law, he's got to live by it. The word for results is the preposition eis there. It's not only meaning to and into, but sometimes it means resulting in. So that's the word there, eis, the preposition eis. Romans 7:11, for sin taking opportunity through the commandment deceived me. There we go. It deceives us into thinking we can do it because it's so good and holy, and we think, oh man, I've got to be able to do that. Genesis 3:13, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you've done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Sounds like an excuse, but when you get wrong information, it will deceive you. Romans 3:20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. That's a good one to remember, too. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And old James even got in on this one. James 1:26, if anybody thinks himself to be religious, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. There's a Form A again, occasion or opportunity. The law comes in and sets up a base of operations for us to sin. To deceive is ek apateo, and just means we're received, deceived, and doesn't quite say the whole truth. We see that maybe we could do it, but we don't see that results of our consequences usually. And the law came in and sin deceived, trying to get me to perform that command with my flesh and find that it leads to death. Killed me from any hope of trying to live godly. To kill, slay, and to do away with is apektainen. We died away. We were slain by trying to perform that law on our own. 7:12, so then the law is holy, the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Said that before. It's a beautiful thing. It's no ways near sin. 1:8, we know that the law is good if we use it correctly. The law was given, again, to define sin and as a schoolmaster in Galatians 3:24. Not so much to teach us, but to beat us up. So eventually we're so frustrated we just cry out, Lord, save me. And that's more why I was a schoolmaster than teaching us. Romans 7:13. Therefore, did that which is good, now we have agathos good, not just any good, become a cause of death for me, may it never be again. Rather, it was sin in order that it might be shown to be sin by effecting my death through that which is good. So that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. Like I said, can the law, which is agathos, which is divinely beneficial good, God's very own good. Jesus said, young man, why do you call me good? There's only one good. Nobody is good except God alone. Luke 18:19. Can that divinely authorized testament cause me to sin? Meganoito. Never happen. I would hope that may it never be. King James, God forbid, but it's that's actually called an ablative. It's a pretty rare case, and it's a wish or a hope. So he's wishing or hoping that it would never be when he says, may it never be. Okay. But in order to show plane through the agathos of the law, to be plane, to be sin, by energizing, there's our katogazomai. That's the same word that's in Philippians 2:12, work down, kategorizomai. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, infants. Galatians 4:3, so also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. This is the yoke of slavery that is referred to in Galatians 5:1. But thanks be to God, Jesus tells us. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. That's, you see them capital letters in your translation on that. That comes from Jeremiah 6:16. The ancient, follow the ancient paths and you'll find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's destroyed that yoke that was on us through the slavery to sin. Now we put his yoke on to perform this heavenly sponsored spiritual life that the law could never produce in anyone. We have that word oidomen. We know perfectly sure that the law is spiritual, but I am flesh, having been sold into bondage to be hupo, under the control of sin. 6:14, sin is no longer master, though, thank God. Romans 7:15, for what I am doing I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. This part threw me for a loop here. This is Paul not talking about himself before he was saved, like some expositors have said. But he's still speaking on human terms. Clear back from Romans 6:19, and to those who know the law in 7:1. Talking to people who have not mastered the doctrine of chapter 6, and they haven't yet realized they have been delivered to that, to pandidike in chapter 6. Still too fleshly to understand spiritual concepts, still trying to please God in what they do. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit against the flesh, for those who are in opposition to one another, that you may not do the things you please. Romans 8:6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. The work he is performing, I don't understand how that law is creating evil in me when I want to do good. That I don't practice, prasso, the things that I will, but on the contrary, the things I hate, misos. That's what I end up doing. But if I do the very thing, 7:16, that I do not want, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. And we know the law is good, from 1 Timothy 1:8. 7:12, so then, of Romans, so then the law is holy, the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Agathos. Romans 7:17, so now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Romans 7:20 again, but if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which indwells in me. This is the portion that I believe gave life to the old sin nature doctrine present in our body and our members. No longer am I the one doing it, but the dwelling in me sin is the construct of the Greek. Just like Christ and his church, though, we are members, but he is the head. We take our orders from the head. We're the members, the melee of his body, but he's the head, and he dishes out the orders. Members don't act on their own, but they receive their orders from what our brains tell them to do. We are still talking carnally to those who are trying to be justified. The power of sin is in the law. 1 Corinthians 15:56. Remember previously, the commandment came in, set up an opportunity. Wham! Before we knew it, we were sinning. No power in our flesh to do anything but. Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present, but the doing of good is not. He knows, he knows it perfectly from experience, that nothing good dwells in him. And but the flesh isn't evil in a sense. It can be, but actually it's neutral, and it only does what, like I said, it only does what it's told. It's a neutral thing, and only does what your mind tells you to do. But still, that enablement, the right enablement, is not present. Because if you do anything in your flesh, it's not accepted by God. He only accepts those works of gold, silver, and precious stones, not wood, hay, and stubble. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Like I said, Paul only mentioned the Spirit one time in this chapter so far. He's not talking about a spiritual person here, but one who is trying to do good in the flesh power. Romans 7:6, but now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the latter. 7:19, for the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. The law only brings about death and dead works. And only the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, who offered himself to God and crucified us and buried us and raised us with him, only he can cleanse us from dead works. In Hebrews 9:14, to serve the living God by the newness of the latter, not the old, or the newness of the Spirit, not the newness of the latter. 7:20, but I am doing the very thing I do not want. I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Through impressions and impulses in the mind are embedded our thoughts and memories, and one unaided by the Spirit or by the Word of God, we use these impulses and impressions to function in life. Romans 8:13, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting death the deeds of the body, you will live. Galatians 5:23, the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against it. It's a spiritual thing. Only the Spirit can produce fruit of the Spirit. These impulses and impressions are what we refer to, if you go back into the days of the cold, dark, damp dungeon of the theater under the Washington Mall, you'll remember something Scott taught. I think we lost some friends over it. But it was the phantom limb syndrome. It's like a man, the sin in our memories is like a man who's been in a wreck, lost an arm or lost a leg, but it can still swear that he has impulses, that his leg's itching or that he's going to reach over to pick up something with that arm that's missing. And that's how deceiving the impulses in that are on our brain. But we also have to put those to death, and that's by the Spirit, by realizing that we were crucified with Christ and that we no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in us. And we live by the faith of the Son of God now, who loved us and gave himself for us. But to those under the law, the previous verse, those who were trying to repair what was broken, they're lawbreakers, because Christ crucified everything when he was crucified. Any law or any, like I said, he's the end of the law for those who believe. And even after it's removed, those limbs can swear it's still aching or itching, even though it is no longer there, for we were crucified and buried with Christ. We still have memories of past things. Memories are strong. Some are good, some are bad, and deceiving us. Pleasurable for a season, but your sins will always find you out. Numbers 32:23. We remember the fun we might have had, but our mind blocks out, that's the deceiving part, what the consequences of our actions were. We can be like Bab Streisand singing memories, light the corners of my... Or we can be like Jesus saying, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things to be of man, not the things to be of God. And I'd rather try that second part, maybe. That was after Peter had an emotional outburst when Jesus said he had to go to the cross. Peter didn't like that. You know, I'm going to let you, Lord. So our word here for find is eureka, horisco, to find, discover. I find then this principle, that's another nomon, that's another law, that evil is present. Parakaitai, para, along or beside, and kami, to lay. It's laying beside us, beside our will to do good. It's lying beside us, that will to do wrong, the power to do wrong, I mean. But lay down one who wills to do good, that good will or purpose has evil laying down right beside it. Once again, remember Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ set us free from the law of sin and death. The law, which is agathos, is called the law of sin and death. That's strange. 7:22, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in our inner man. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, brethren, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. I joyfully concur. Is soon adomai, soon together, and hedomai, where we get our word hedonism. It's a pleasure for him to concur with the law of God in the inner man. 23, but I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. There he is again, the phantom limb syndrome, bringing back all those memories of back in the day, those good old days, without reminding us of the circumstances. Even sometimes it's so real, it'll make your heart skip a beat, pound a little faster, and make your hand shake a little bit. I've had that happen. I don't know about any of you, but I see a different, a heteros law at work in my members. It's a different one. It's not the Mosaic law. It's another law. And it's waging war. Anti-stratuomai. Against the law, it's taking up, it's making a strategy. James 4:1 again. James twice today. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? It's not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your body. That's what it is. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit against desire. Is there an opposition so that you may not do things that you please? Waging war, setting up a base of operation in my mind, ready to jump in sin from seeing or hearing or emoting something. Like I said the other night, Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Sin is crouching at your door, and he wants to get in, but you must master it. And Romans 6 was given so that we may master it, because we don't want to end up like this person here. This is a nightmare. 7:24, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Telaporos is wretched. And we know about wretched from the Revelation 3, the letter to Laodicea. They were wretched just because they never let Christ in when he was knocking to have dinner with them. And I invite you to, anytime you hear that door knocking, let him in, because the meal will be awesome. This time set me free as Ruamai. From Rio to flow. 7:25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself in my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with the flesh, the law of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:57 again. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. What a nightmare. Trying to perform the Christian life by trying to live life by obeying the law and the power of the flesh. But Kairos, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gives us the victory over sin and death. This is why Paul was so mad in Galatians about the Judaizers. This is the kind of damage that the Judaizers were doing to people by trying to get people to live by the law while they're believing in Christ. And the said it a couple verses ago there, they oppose one another. It's not going to work. And it was no wonder he called them dogs and mutilators, because they were not to our advantage. They were in there to split. This is why it's so important, again, for renewing our minds to get the mystery epistles and especially the doctrine of Romans 6 into our souls, along with the rest of the Word of God. to ever have a chance of being conformed into the image of his son, which, may I remind you, is the main purpose why he left us on earth after he saved us. That old man is dead and buried. Leave sleeping dogs lie. We are new creations saved by grace. His poema, his masterpiece, created in good works that he walked in, that we should also walk in, following him being our ultimate hupotoposis. For the purpose of good works that he walked in, and they were prepared even before the foundation of the world. Look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith's race. This is the good news that frees us from frustration depicted in this chapter. Once again, and I won't apologize for it, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be filled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Shout it from the rooftops. The preceding verse of this 8:2 is the greatest declaration of independence of all time. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Period. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for your word, Lord. I hope it came through clear, and I pray that you will teach. You're the teacher, Lord, not us. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for that awesome sacrifice that freed us. No wonder it says we're doing despite to the Spirit of grace when we're going back to works of the law or tradition or ritual. And if we ever did any of that, we apologize and repent right now from it. And we also thank you, Lord, for our nation. I said the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, they're all great, but the Word of God trumps all else. And if people only knew that, they'd be overflowing the churches today. And I understand that this might be even the first day that some churches are meeting after the terrible pandemic that come across the nation. And wherever they are, whoever they are, Lord, bless them. Speak to their hearts personally that they may get a dawning of this wonderful grace and this life of freedom in Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name one more time. Bless the offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
We could all stand.
The masked man. He is robbing us.
For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Alleluia. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be blessed, and give all the glory unto him. Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty. Alleluia, for Lord of the Lords. Hallelujah. For Jesus Christ is Lord of the Lords. Let us rejoice and be glad and give all the glory to Him. Alleluia. For Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. Alleluia. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give all the glory unto Him. Alleluia. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns.
Thanks. A great day, everybody.